This is the MF Cashflow Podcast with Mike Fisher. We pull back the curtain of real estate investing and share the secrets to building the life of financial freedom you've always dreamed of.
Hey guys, Mike Fisher here, MF Cashflow. You can use the MF however you like. It could be Mike Fisher or it could be motherfucker. So guys, you need to be listening to this today, guys. Today I got Josh Belk with me, who is my CPA. This guy, I just brought him on a few months ago. He's a rock star, guys. And one thing that I've learned is you got to go through a lot of people, man, a lot of shit you got to trudge through to get to where you want to go. And man, I've trudged through a lot of crap. Just recently, I fired my last CPA and bookkeeper, and we'll just leave it at that. There's a reason why I'm not using them anymore. And so, guys, I shared with you guys on a previous podcast of what I went through with attorneys, closing attorneys and such, and I went through a lot to get to where I'm at today. And if you go back and listen to one of my first podcasts with Gary Davidson at Castle Law, Gary brings a huge value to me and to a lot of other investors. And I know Josh will do the same to you. And Josh has been working on my books right now. And he's going to go back and audit my previous years as well. And I'm just super excited to share with you, Josh Belk. Hey, Josh, thank you so much for coming here today and sharing your story and your knowledge and wisdom with everybody else, man. Thank you.
Oh, I'm so glad that you asked me to be here. It's definitely a privilege. So thanks for asking.
Dude, yeah, that's awesome, man. So I'm just curious, let's start right out of the gate. Very unusual. This is not preempt or anything. Give me your craziest story that you took on somebody's books and what it looked like. And did you actually walk away or did you fix it? Or what did you tell that person? You know, you're like your worst horror story, but yet I'm sure there's got to be a lot of humor in it.
Oh, sure, sure. So, you know, through the years and like a lot of probably any business owner, they kind of start off as kind of a solopreneur. And sometimes in the real estate space, you take on deals that maybe you shouldn't have taken on, end up being a disaster. So you learn from them. But, through the years, and we've had this happen a few times. And actually I have an appointment tomorrow and I'm fearful this is what's going to happen when I walk in, when I go and meet with them. But as an accountant, the worst thing that can happen is when you walk in and many times people are honest, you know, hey, you know, my stuff is really screwed up. Can you come out and help me? And sometimes it's like, okay, define what screwed up means, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so the worst situation is when either a client walks into your office and they come in with banker's boxes or you walk into their office and you go in and, you know, you walk into their conference room or whatever into one of their offices and they have, you know, banker's boxes there of receipts and saying, okay, this is my stuff, fix it. And it used to be years ago because I needed the work, I'd take it on. But now it's like, you know, you probably should, get some different type of help. Yeah. As far as trying to at least get a baseline of hey, this is what's going on.
Right, right.
But that's always the worst when anybody's just lack of organization. And a lot of times we'll tell clients, whether new clients or even existing clients, the best thing you can do in your business is just be organized, you know, get that process in place.
That's tough.
Before, you know, cause people always want to talk about tax strategy. They want to talk about all this other kind of stuff. And I'm like, you know what? You don't even have a baseline foundation of even knowing where you're at.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're just like taking a guess.
Right.
You know, I think I'm making this much money. Well, you really should know whether or not you're making this much money. And then from there we can begin to develop, you know, some different types of strategies
right.
in your business to try to help you.
Yeah.
But if you don't know where you're at, you know, it's like trying to hit a moving target.
Yeah, yeah. That's so. One thing I've learned throughout the years is that CPAs are just wired differently, dude. Like they're just, like you guys are just like freaks about numbers and like, but what makes you tick, man? Cause this is there's people out there that will spend hours to find one penny.
Sure.
Like, are you one of those people?
No.
And I, two pennies maybe.
Yeah. Well, no, here's the thing. And you're right. Most accountants are, if you're kind of familiar with DISC profiles, you know, as far as, they're like, you know, they're really low D's and they have high S's and C's. And to be honest with you, they're boring. And to me, and I get asked this question, well, do you know this accountant? Do you network? I said, no. I said, I really don't network with other accountants because bottom line, they're boring people to be around. And so we go in sometimes and we'll, you know, we'll get handed off. We had a situation about a year ago, about 9 months ago, I guess now. And so this it's a property manager had two previous accountants, and one of them actually prepared the return, didn't know what they were doing, ended up getting audited, then hired another CPA to represent them in the audit, did not understand real estate. So she's trying to find, you know, hey, what's the best, you know, real estate accountant I can find?
And
she kept on hearing my name over and over and over again. So she called me. And I said, okay, great. And so the existing accountant that she had, the CPA actually doing the additional audit representation, basically admitted, hey, you know, I got way out over my skis on this deal. Can you come out and just help and basically take this thing over? I'm like, well, you know, let's see what we can do. And so I went out and I walked into, you know, kind of what the typical, you know, CPA firm looks like. You know, you have a guy goes in with, well, he's got, you know, brown pants on and a, you know, an old, brown dress pants on, an old, discolored, dress shirt that didn't look like it hadn't been washed in years, sitting behind a steel desk, paper everywhere in his office. And you walk in and just like, you know, man, you are the most boring person I've ever talked to in my life. And a guy, you know, didn't really know his stuff. He had his, you know, his kind of his swim lane, what he was really good at, and definitely was outside of it. But that's kind of most of the time where they're at. And it's something that, you know, I fight against, when I go and, you know, do a, you know, fair amount of speaking and whatnot. This, you know, a lot of times, hey, you know, Josh Belk is here. And if the people in the room don't know who I am. And you get up there and the first thing I have to do is fight against the room falling asleep in the first 30 seconds.
Right.
So I really try to, one thing I enjoy doing is kind of thinking a little bit outside the box. And I'm not talking about doing things that are outside. I mean, I'm definitely big on, hey, let's stay within the walls that are kind of built there. Let's try to stay safe in what we do. I don't mind being aggressive, provided it's not stupid. Okay. So I have no problem with being aggressive, kind of bringing in tax strategies that might be, you know, a little bit unique or maybe a little bit different. But
I like
definitely
to call that like telling the I, R, and the S to fuck off, you know, using their rules.
Right. Exactly. You know? So one big issue is in as far as an accountant, I understand what I do and don't do well.
Yeah.
Okay. And I love real estate. I love working with real estate investors, and it's something that I really kind of study and understand. And to be honest with you, they're a fun group to be around, which is, you know, for the most part, which I really enjoy. Just like accountants, IRS, whether they're, you know, agents or officers. I mean, we've got this audit I was telling you about still ongoing, and the gal, she's great. I mean, a really nice person who's doing the representation work for the IRS.
Right.
Yeah, but she does not understand property management at all. Okay. Doesn't understand real estate at all. And then her boss, who they've gone through like three different bosses at that particular IRS office, doesn't understand it either. So I spend all my time educating them, trying to teach them that, hey, this is the way this type of a company works.
Yeah.
Because they don't get it. They try to think, you know, everything fits in this box, and they're throwing rules. Hey, well, this is what the IRS code says. Well, it doesn't pertain. So one kind of value that in any type of business.
Awesome.
You probably have most, you know, probably a lot of real estate investors who listen to this. But if you're outside that space, make sure that your accountant knows your business. Find out, and it's a question. It's a legitimate question,
right,
that you should ask. Is, hey, you know, how many how many of your clients are in my space? Tomorrow I'll be doing a different podcast recording with somebody who's actually in the gaming industry.
Oh, wow.
Okay, which is kind of interesting, kind of unique, and he's actually a friend of mine. Met him at a mastermind, and he was actually working for a real estate investor, and he decided to kind of peel away, and he's doing, and he's basically going and doing what he wants to do, which I think is totally awesome.
Sorry, that's great.
But I don't have any clients in that industry,
and so we're
going to chat and we'll talk about, you know, whatever he wants to talk about tomorrow. But that's a legitimate question, so he should be asking me if he's not a client. So, but he would, you know, one question if he was wanting to look to retain me. How many clients do you have in this space?
Mm.
But a lot of times, you know, they go, you know, people go through and they'll interview their accountant, they'll interview their attorney, they'll interview one of their, what should be one of their key advisors.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, but they never ask that question. Oh, he's a smart guy. He's a nice guy. How many times I've heard that? Oh, my, you know, my CPA, my accountant, he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Or my gal, she's a nice gal. Well, I don't care if she's nice or not. You know, the bottom line is, you know, do they know their stuff?
Right. Yeah.
And then beyond that, are they willing to kind of get in your face and, and say, hey, you know, this is, you know, let's get this thing right.
Yeah. You're going to go to court for a court ticket, man. And your attorney might be a really nice guy, but you're going to get, you know, you're going to get your ass handed to you. Right.
Yeah.
But your attorney's a really nice guy.
Right. And yeah.
Don't know shit about traffic law, but you got a real estate attorney representing you in traffic court.
Yeah.
But he's a really nice guy.
I'd rather have an advisor that would kind of just stab me in the front and look at me and say, hey, you know what? You're screwing up.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then we, you know, on the other side, have to be willing to take it.
Yeah, and keep and move from there. Like I've said it many times, fail fast, fail forward, and fail frequently, you know.
Sure.
And if you're not failing, you're not moving. And that's really the key thing to life, man. If you're just sitting there, like years ago, I remember people would say, hey, Mike, how are you, man? And I'm like, I'm maintaining. Well, that's bullshit. There is no maintaining. Either you're moving forward or you're moving backward. There is no maintaining. I wish I could go back and undo all that nasty. You know what it is? Because we were told of like a bullshit story from as long as we could remember, like stupid things like money don't grow on trees, right? You know, or all these stupid little stories that go on, and you believe to as you grow up, you believe those things, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I became a believer, and then I started working on myself years ago. Like, man, I had to undo all the bullshit that was in my head, and put in the right shit. And really, when you do that, it's like you grow so much more. And it's just in the same thing when searching for a CPA, searching for an attorney, searching for the right property management software, whatever it is. There's so much smoke and mirrors out there. And it's like you really need to just define what it is that you're looking for that's going to fit you. And, you know, that's a tough one, man. It's really tough. And it can cost you time and more than that. I mean, well, it's going to cost you money more than the money. It's going to cost you time because you can't make more time. The only way you can make more time is hire the right people that you can leverage their time with your money. So, and that's why, you know, I called you and like, hey, man, I don't know what the hell I'm at, man, where I'm at right now. Things are a mess. And I gotta get this figured out. And, you know, we just had a meeting the other day, and I'm confident now of where we're going and moving forward. And, man, changed up. I mean, like, you know my system that I had before. It's nothing like it is. And now it's running so smooth today. And just the hell that I had to go through to get to that, right? And I'm sure you've got a lot. You went through a lot of hell to get where you're at also. You know, the just getting out there and looking at those banker boxes and like, oh, shit, what the hell am I in for here, right? Lots of late nights and stuff. But another super strategy, Josh, that I found and I learned years ago is investing in your IRA. And I did some really, and I still am, I'm doing some really cool stuff inside that. And really, man, self-direct IRA. And then what I did was I took a corporation and opened up an LLC and then put my IRA in there with some other businesses too. And now that, so like maybe each one put in hypothetically 25% or, you know, 33 and a third or something. And now that business, that LLC is like, went crazy. I can't even talk numbers. It's just, it's out of control. I mean, like right now I went and purchased three lots out in Burbank and building homes out there on it. And just like unbelievably having a great time right there. And so speak a little bit about that on how somebody can really take their IRA, self-direct it. Some tips for real estate investors here. I want to bring them some value and I feel like that's been a big one for me in the last few years. I mean, I've been using it now for, I don't know, maybe 6 years or so, maybe 7 years. I started out with peanuts going through a divorce and I really had nothing, but I took it and built it up to well into the six figures now.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and I wanted to hit on something you'd mentioned a minute ago when you kind of started this last end, as far as moving from a scarcity to an abundance mindset.
Mm.
You know, you talked about that. You had to do that in your business and also in your, you know, kind of in your spiritual life as well, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, even Jesus himself, you know, he said that, you know, we should have life and have it more
sort of full or abundantly. Yeah.
Right. He didn't say with scarcity. No, he said, you know, and have it more abundantly.
Right, right.
And so I believe that in every aspect of our life. Whether it's in our personal relationships, within your spiritual relationship, whatever that means for you, and in your personal, in your business, in those three elements of your life, that you're moving from the scarcity mindset. Money doesn't grow on trees,
right?
And it can grow, it's kind of like a tree has a limited amount of leaves. And I never kind of early understood the analogy. I heard the same thing when I was a kid, right?
Yeah.
We kind of think from a scarcity mindset, and we also don't think in a way of that, you know, money is a seed, and we can choose. We can either consume it, or we can choose to plant it. And so what you're talking about here with the self-directed IRA, that's a way of taking that seed and planting it to grow into something else.
Yeah.
And then you have the decision what you're going to do with that seed. When you're talking about a self-directed. The first struggle that we see with most people is, you know, they'll go to an event, they'll hear a podcast, they'll listen to a webinar or whatever, and they'll hear, go and open up a self-directed IRA. So they call their custodian or whatever, and so they'll dump.
You've already jumped way to step 10 now when you say call their custodian, because our audience probably doesn't even know what a custodian is.
I can back up, sure.
So you may need to really break this down in baby pieces, man.
Okay.
I'll tell you the one. When it was introduced to me, it was through a course that I took, and they wanted me to, spend $20,000 out of my IRA to take this big course. I ended up spending like $1,200 and I bought this course, but this one here interested me the most. And I really I probably listened to this guy probably 8 times, maybe 10 times. And each time I'm like, I feel like I'm missing a point here, right? So maybe you can use broad strokes, and then what I'd like to do, have you use broad strokes, is there are a lot of little pieces to it.
Sure.
But then at the end, I want you to give your contact information so if people are looking to do something like that or have other questions for you, you can help them out or lead them in the right direction.
Sure. Yeah, we can lead them because that's not something your accountant does for you. So let me kind of back up. You have when you have retirement money, there's a pretty limited things that most people think that you can do with them. So most people think, okay, I have a 401k or I have an IRA, I have, you know, whatever
CD.
It is. And so you have, and so people, you know, don't understand how those all mean things. But most of the time people think, okay, well, I have a 401k through my company. So I go and I work my 9 to 5.
CD is not a certificate of death either.
Well, it is if you look at the interest rates, right? Anymore, but it's, so a lot of people, oh, well, 401k, so I need to, you know, either my company has, you know, some sort of a broker they work with. And so they go and they put it into a mutual fund, or they buy CDs with it, or, you know, some other lame, boring, you know, type of investment strategy. And in time it may work, you know, and so you kind of take a look at, you know, the stock market over time, and generally it does increase and that type of thing. And so sometimes people try to play the market. They try to do these types of things. You do that, you're going to lose every time. But, and so, I mean, that is a legitimate strategy if somebody wants to use it. But there is another option, and a lot of times people don't understand that.
Mm.
So you can choose to either take that money and, you know, you may stick it into a Vanguard account or call your local Edward Jones guy or Wells Fargo advisor guy or gal, right? And they'll more than gladly take your money and invest it. Okay. And they'll sit down with you and they'll make you feel all good and all this other type of thing and say, hey,
warm
this
and
is
fuzzy.
Yeah. And hey, this is what we're going to try to do. And of course they get paid out of it and the whole nine yards. Okay. So that's kind of the traditional path that a lot of people use.
Yeah.
Okay. But there is another option.
Tell me.
Okay. So the other option is, guess what? You can choose beyond just, hey, here are the six, you know, mutual funds that you can choose from.
Right.
Okay. There is another option. And that's self-directed. So you have this other option that most people use, and that's others directed, right?
Mm.
You may get to choose out of a certain number of options, but ultimately you have some manager out there that's making a decision of, hey, this is, you know, where we're going to put your money.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So we're going to buy, you know, 100 shares of GE. We're going to do, you know, whatever the case may be inside of this account. But here, the other option is, so you can either do an others directed or you can do a self-directed.
Yeah.
So you choose where it gets invested. Now, right. within a self-directed, you can, there's a lot of different things you can do.
Yeah. Okay. There are, yeah.
But the rules are still the same as it comes to how much money you can put in. If it's, you know, if it's a SEP, if it's a simple, it's a 401k, whatever. And all those, you can do any of those types of things, but you can self-direct it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of people, and so in order for you to self-direct it, you can't do it yourself. When I say that, you just can't go down to your local bank and say, I want to open up an account. And it be a self-directed account. So the IRS does require that you have what's called a custodian.
Yes.
Okay. And so a custodian, basically, they're like the and I'm not exactly, you know, correct here in my terminology, but they're essentially like the trustee.
Yeah.
Okay. So they are the ones essentially that will take your money. And then they will execute whatever it is that you tell them to do with that money, provided it's within the rules. But a custodian is not going to tell you necessarily what those rules are. Now, the custodian that we always recommend, they are tremendous at bringing value. Every week, I think it's on Tuesdays, they have a Facebook Live that go through and actually teach and educate. And it's a beautiful thing. You can actually go into their offices. Now they're in Texas, but you can actually go into their offices if you want.
Yeah.
And they have meetups and education. And they, like I said, they stream
the stuff
online.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times people don't know what you can and can't do.
Right, right.
So what a lot of times people do,
you don't want to get caught, man.
So they'll call a custodian, and there are many of them out there. They'll call so that you need to contact a custodian and say, hey, I want to open up an account, or you can go to their website. You have some paperwork that you have to complete on the front end. And then basically you send them money. And so, or you'll roll over your existing account over to the self-directed. And so if you roll over your account, so if you have $20,000 sitting in a 401k, you say, okay, well, I don't want to have this in the 401k anymore. I'm going to roll this over into a self-directed 401k.
Right.
So you'll roll that $20,000 over, but guess what? At that point, it's not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because you haven't directed it. You haven't told that money where to be planted or where to grow.
Yeah. Right. Right.
So it shifts. So here's the big thing. The opportunity, the upside potential is huge. Okay, but you have to do some work.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you're going to have to tell that money where it goes. The custodian's going to charge you a fee, obviously, for doing their work.
Yeah.
Okay. They're not there for free. Okay. They're gonna charge a fee, just like but many times when you're talking about a broker or whatever, they take that fee right out of there.
Yeah.
And you know, you may not even understand who all is getting paid, especially if it's within a mutual fund. So unless you go through and try to read, you know, that garbage they send you in the mail.
Yeah. You don't understand it anyway.
Yeah, no, I don't understand it. So you go through and now you have this money, this $20,000 that you put into a self-directed account, but now you have to tell it where it goes.
Mm.
And so there are certain things you can and cannot do. You cannot run an active business inside. So you can't say, okay, well, I'm going to put my accounting firm into my self-directed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
And guess what? I'm going to run the day-to-day operations. You can't do that.
Yeah.
Okay. So a lot of times what people do, it is a passive investment vehicle. Okay. So what we'll see a lot of people do is invest. When I say invest, meaning that they'll lend. Okay. So they may take that $20,000, and now you can't lend it to yourself and say, okay, well, I have a real estate business, and so I'm going to take the $20,000 out of my IRA and I'm going to invest it into my active company, and I'm going to have it as a lender. Or, you know what, I'm going to lend it to my brother. Okay, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
So there are certain rules that are there. So you need to be aware of those rules.
Yeah.
So it's something you need to be educated on. And
totally,
I think so I think it's probably a little bit outside the scope of what we're trying to do here, kind of go through this whole education process.
Yeah,
but because it is massive. There are certain things you can do, certain things you can't do.
We could do a program just on this alone.
Exactly. Yeah. but what the key is, if you want to go that route, and the upside potential is great. But you have to do your due diligence. You have to do your work. So if you want, and we've seen this happen many times where they go through and they'll want to go and lend. So they may go to their RIA. They may go on a cruise or whatever and meet other real estate investors. And those real estate investors need money.
Yeah.
Okay. And so they'll say, okay, I've got this project I'm doing. I need rehab loan, for example. So it's a short term, and they'll say, okay, well, we'll give you 2% on the front end, 1% a month, and we'll pay you 3% on the back end, however the deal's structured.
Right.
And, it's a 6-month, it's a 12-month note, whatever. And so, which is legitimate. You can do that. Okay. And so you go ahead and you lend them that, that $20,000, whatever the case may be. But you need to make sure you're doing your due diligence. And, but the beauty is you can earn that interest and then it accrues up. And what you've done is you've taken that money and it's not something you're actively doing. So you're going in and you're putting this money into a business that has some sort of a, you know, an active component to it, but you're not in the day-to-day operations.
No.
If you were, that would violate it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right,
and now
all
of a sudden the entire amount becomes taxable and you have penalties, you have all this other kind of fun stuff. So you have to be really careful and educated. If you do have checkbook control within your IRA, and we have clients to do that, you need to be extremely careful. But before you ever go down that path, if you're listening to this, if you ever decide that you want to go down that path, you need to spend a lot of time getting educated and knowing exactly what you're doing. Because your custodian isn't there and isn't going to educate you necessarily on the day-to-day of operation of your self-directed. Okay. They're simply going to facilitate as far as where that money is going to go. Now, if you have a good custodian, they're going to have plenty of education platforms for you because they do want to help you because they want it to be a win-win. They don't want to deal with the headaches of a self-directed being violated and all of a sudden you have all these issues as well because then they lose the account.
Right.
So they want it to grow. They want, you know, they want to, you know, because it's a win for them as well. So if you decide to go down that route, first of all, be aware that there is another option besides the traditional method of I'm going to invest in the stock market or I'm going to I'm going to put it into a money market and earn 0.0000001%. Okay. whatever the bank rates are right now, or, you know, I guess they've ticked up now, they're 0.00002%. Right. Or I'm going to ride the market up and down. Okay. Where you have an option to where you can go through and you can self-direct it. You can invest. If you have a lot of money in there, maybe you can go and you can, you know, purchase a rental property.
I've got several myself.
Sure.
Several rental properties.
You just can't manage it yourself, right? So you can buy a rental and you have to be careful if you have a, if you do have a loan against it. Can be subject to what's called UBIT. Within your IRA. So you want to be careful with some of that. That's not a horrible thing. You just have to be aware of it.
The way around that is just pay cash.
Yeah. So the best thing to do, So if you have enough there and you say, okay, I have, you know, I have $100,000 here, I'm going to buy a rental. And it needs to be already rehabbed. Essentially. So it's so you can basically, you know, go through and almost buy it as a turnkey within your self-directed, have a property manager manage it, and then they sent that net amount every month back into your self-directed. And so it begins to grow.
Several investors that do that with us.
Sure.
And very, very beneficial, I'll tell you. They love it. It's a great avenue for investors to jump into and get a great return on their money. And not just that, the benefits of owning real estate too, because now they're paying down, you know, if there is a mortgage, they're paying down the mortgage on it, and it's increasing in value. So what a freaking cash cow it is, you know, right from the beginning, man. It's really detailed, guys, of the laws, like Josh said, and there's so much to learn. It's probably why I listened to that video so much, and I learned so much more beyond that video. And so, guys, if you have any questions, I'll have Josh give his info away, his contact info in a moment. Josh, one of the things that came to my mind is, as you were speaking, is the analogy, or, you know, you've heard it said before. Well, money's the root of all evil, and, you know, I'm sure you've heard that growing up as a child.
It's a misquoted verse.
The reality is that money's not the root of all evil. It's the misuse of money being. But who are the people out there that are saying money's the root of all evil?
Yeah, it's those who, well, first of all, you know, the scripture says it's the love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. And what the, I think what the context or what the thought there is that a person that pursues it from a greed position.
Yeah. Right.
So they're going to, so they love it so much, they're going to run over anybody and everybody that they can in order to make that next dollar.
Right.
And essentially they will find themselves in a, and so the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. I don't want to use the word, you know, sin necessarily, but kind of these people who find themselves in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Where money is at many times at the root of it. You think of, drug dealing, for example, or prostitution. You think these types of things. But people who live a lifestyle that is their pursuit find themselves in a point to where they find themselves very miserable. And so because we are not meant as human creatures to simply just acquire and for ourselves.
Right, right.
Because we don't find ourselves in a position of fulfillment, of satisfaction. And I think we really are meant to, in many ways, to be a conduit.
Yeah.
So for people who essentially are going and pursuing money, okay, and they don't love the money, but they love what the money can do.
Yeah.
So they love the fact that they can take the gifts that they have, the skill set that they have, the talent that they have, the knowledge that they have, and make as much money as you want.
Yeah, yeah.
Buy what you. I mean, if that brings you satisfaction. I was listening to a podcast on the way in. Gary Vee, who I love listening to his podcast. Oh, yeah. And he was in actually with the guy Andrew Cordell, who I recorded with him in Chicago last week. And it was all about money. And in this, it was like, you know what? If whatever it is, if you want to buy a nice watch, you want to buy a Maserati. If you're doing that for yourself and it's what brings you some sort of sense of fulfillment, go for it. But if you're buying it just to impress others, I mean, what? I mean, come on.
Right.
I mean, that's ridiculous. But if you're going through and you're basically getting to the point to where you're pursuing wealth in order to turn around and invest in other people. I mean, these two people I was just talking about, Gary Vee and Andrew, I know that, I mean, they give a ton of their money away. Mm. For Andrew, I know that he's taken it. He's trying to feed a bunch of starving kids in third world countries.
That's making a difference, man. That's
and so awesome, you're making man. An impact. I mean, there's a scripture verse that's very dear to me is in Jude. And it says, and if some have compassion, making a difference.
Yeah.
So as a person who... And I know, Mike, that you're a very benevolent guy as well. And some people talk about it. A lot of people talk about don't do it.
Yeah.
But, that we really should work in order to have, okay, not for ourselves necessarily, okay, even though, have the lifestyle you want to live with the money that you've earned.
Yeah,
but that shouldn't be the primary purpose of why we're pursuing it,
right,
but it's in order to take it and invest and make a difference in other people's lives.
Right.
You know, whether, you know, it should be your children, it should be those in our society that need help.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
in your position, maybe it's somebody that is less fortunate to, you know, and they're like, you know, they need their taxes done and you're like, but they don't have the money to do it. And you're like, oh man, I could totally help this person out. It's only going to take me an hour or 2 hours and then boom, done. You know, like, it's just not like boom, done. Like, my deed's done, you know, like, hey, good, you know, pat yourself on the back. You know, it's not what it's about. It's just that inner side of the inner being of you to have that gratitude that, hey, I can help that person. You know, people have said to me, Mike, you're so blessed, you know, Mike, you'll be so blessed for doing that. Bitch, I've already been blessed. That's why I'm doing it. You know, you missed the boat, man. I don't do it to be blessed. I'm doing it because I am blessed. And everybody has that ability to do that. And the reason I was asking about that, about the money is the root of all evil, is that people may view people as being, that's their view on it. And, you know, I look at you as you've got the value that it takes in the real estate world as far as like, tax returns and knowing what it is that we can do and what we can't do to give us the greatest return on our time and our money, right? So that we can go out there and make a difference in other people's lives. So that, if we're making, you know, $500,000 a year and you're like, oh, dude, I got this great way that I could totally, you know, save you $20,000 in taxes, you know, so you're not paying it to the government. Like, that's valuable stuff. And, you know, like, maybe it's just giving it to a charitable organization rather than giving it to the government. You know, and that's making a difference because clearly our government doesn't know what the hell they're doing with
definitely
it.
Not.
So I'd rather go put it and make an impact on lives and souls in other countries or even in our own country because God knows we have issues right in our own backyard. And you don't even have to go out of the country or out of the state to help people. It's right here in our own backyard. So, and my point being is the people that they're sitting there and like, money's the root of all evil. Those are the people that don't have money.
Definitely. Yeah.
Like
like, get up off your freaking ass and go do something with your life. You know, I'll tell you what, I challenge the people out there in a most respectful way. Shut the freaking TV off for a week. Shut it off. Do something for yourself. Do it now. Like, you got one life to live. There's no do-overs. This is it, man. It's showtime, baby. And it's like, live your life. Because the only time my TV don't go on. I haven't turned my TV on in like 6 years. Like, my daughter just, she made fun of me the other day. She goes, "Dad, you don't even, like, why do you have a TV? You don't even turn it on." I'm like, "That's a good point. It's kind of like an ornament, you know? I don't even know, like a picture on the wall. I don't even, matter of fact, I got motivational stuff taped over the, you know, hanging from the top, you know? You have to, if somebody's to watch the TV, you'd have to flip the paper over, but... You know, it's just, I don't care about it. It just sits there. So, you know, the value, what I want people to understand is the value that you bring, the strategies that you have. And you talked about in the beginning of the podcast about tax strategies and helping people. And these are the things that the value that you bring that, you know, we can't do it all. You know, like if I need, you know, a sewer rotted, I'm not going to go out and rot it myself. I'm going to hire somebody that knows how to do it so they can do it. I'll figure it out, but damn it, I don't want nothing to do with it, you know? And I've heard somebody say years ago, so he was out on a vacation. He took his family out for a vacation. They were in Mexico. And I may be messing up the story a little bit, but the gist of the story is they're out in Mexico. His father-in-law had a heart attack or some type of health issue, and there's no Blue Cross Blue Shield in Mexico. So father-in-law is going to die because he's not going to make it home. So you have to write a check to have the doctor work and save this man's life, or he's going to die. So this individual wrote the check, and his father-in-law lived. So is money the root of all evil? Because if there's a problem and you can fix the problem with money, is money the problem? Because you no longer have a problem anymore, right?
Right.
So get up off your ass and go put that remote down, bury it, throw it away. It's the worst thing. It's like cancer. And go do something with your life, even if it's just going to the gym. Listen to something positive on YouTube. Educate yourself. And, you know, and just one little move makes such a huge difference. And even just in Josh, even just like one tax strategy can make such a, like, I'm thinking about just like one tax strategy and it could make a difference of somebody's income or what they're paying back to the government. And then that individual could pay down their debt possibly, or give some to a charity or something and make a difference in their own lives and other people's lives. And the value, that's what I want people to understand, is the value that you have here that you can give to people. And so anyway, I'm talking a lot here, Josh. How do people get in touch with you? You know, if they want to get in touch, hey, how do I get in touch with Josh, man?
Well, I'm easy to find. So, you know, you can always find me on any of the social media platforms, you know, LinkedIn, Facebook, whatever, just Josh Belk. And then office, owned Belk and Associates out of St. John, Indiana. You can Google it, whatever the case may be. BelkAssociatesLLC.com, the website. You talk about, you know, staying in your swim lane. I spent yesterday afternoon kind of working on, you know, as far as trying to get the website and all this other kind of stuff, you know, revamped. Yeah. Definitely something I could probably figure it out. I don't want to do because I would screw it up big time. But would love to hear from you. If you have any questions, my office number, 219-365-9520. Either myself or someone on your team can do the best we can to help you. And we're there really to try to make a difference and really try to help. And, you know, you can always call. And, you know, if I can't help you, I'll let you know. And we'll do the best we can to help you if we can.
Yeah, awesome, dude. I think you just touched on three of the things that I say pretty much on all my podcasts. Live fully, love openly, and make a difference, man.
There you go. I love it.
And man, I appreciate it. You didn't even know. I didn't set that up at all. But I know we totally touched and hammered down on all three of those, man. So I appreciate your time today, man. And I'm looking forward to even drilling down on some more techniques and strategies in another episode, man. Appreciate you.
Sure,
thank you.
I'd love it. All right, appreciate it.
Learn more at mfcashflow.com and follow Mike on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn.